good to be at church, isn't it? Come on now. You know I'm not going to let you sit there and look like dead people. You know that, right? Who's enjoying the summer? Who's enjoying the sizzling heat? Not really. Praise God. We hope those ventilation systems are going to suck all the heat out and blow in all the cool air. And so anyway, no worries. It's good to be here. And I think it's going to get pretty hot and exciting up here. And I hope you enjoy the word today. Amen. Who likes to set goals for the year? You know, the whole year is just beginning right now, and it's very popular to set New Year's resolutions. Okay, who set some New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Like, you know, maybe going to lose some weight this year? You know, that one you've been saying every single year? Or maybe going to eat better? Or, I don't know, going to get a new job? Or maybe get out of debt? Now, all you single girls, all you single ladies that own a, all the single ladies that own a car, this is the year I want you to clean your car, okay? This is the year you get the old McDonald's wrappers, you actually open the door, you get a little vacuum cleaner, okay? But guys, don't you laugh, because all the single guys, this is that time of the decade that you change your sheets. Okay, you get them and you turn them over the other way. And then in 10 years' time, you rotate them to the other end, you see, and then you get to about 2050 and you actually go down to Bed and Beyond or whatever it's called and get a new set, you see. New resolutions, new goals is exciting, isn't it? They're not altogether bad. I mean, if you have a goal of maybe getting rid of your cat, that's a pretty good one. I hate cats. Sell your children. No, don't sell your children, okay? Keep your children. All of these things, except for selling your children and getting rid of your cat, maybe. All of these goals are not bad, but they actually, when you look at them, it's interesting. They're all self-centered in nature. The tragedy when it comes to God is that our goals are more often about us than they are about Him. Instead of surrendering our will to His, we expect God to surrender His will to us. Now, I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about the church up the road. You know this. You know that, right? Because we're all good. So would you just excuse me while we talk about things that only apply to those guys up the road? Because we all here, we really are primarily concerned about the Lord, right? So many people want to get God to do what they want. Give me, give me, give me. Help me, God. Bless me, God. Protect me, God. Make my life better. Make my life richer. Make my life healthier. If you dissect your resolutions, most of them, maybe all of them, come back to our happiness. But here's something. I'm going to break it all right now. Here it is. God does not exist for us. We exist for the honor of God. We exist for the serving of God. My dear friend, this is a fundamental theological or problem in humanity. We think God is there for our benefit, but He's not. Did you know that? I wonder, God, I mean, God doesn't live in time and space, but we do. He gives us, Scripture tells us, a lot of days and time, and days go by and times go by. God knows it's 2019, and I just wonder, with all our happy times and our, oh man, I'm going to do this year. I want to get a new job. I'm going to get married this year. You know, I want to tell you something. God has a plan for your life this year. Can somebody say amen? Amen. God Almighty has New Year's resolutions for your life and my life. In fact, when God invited people to follow Him, He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. Following Jesus is less about us and more about him. But it doesn't come naturally, does it? At least in my life, it doesn't come naturally. How about your life? So we're doing a 5-part series called Selfless. We've often seen it, new year, new me. A little makeup, a little Botox, a little losing of the weight. I want to say that right now, it's new year, less me. It's new year, less you. New year, less us. We're going to start the series. It's countercultural. It's pushing back the forces of things around us that we all slip into from time to time. We want to go against it and teach about moving from being selfish to being selfless. What about shifting our focus from trying to improve ourselves to improving our world? Rather than new year, new me, it should be new year, less me. Every year we should have less of us and more of Jesus. You missed a mighty good time to say, amen, Pastor. You got to work with me now. Let's get rid of a give me, give me, give me.
Ah, God, you didn't do it again in 2018.
I want. What you want, what you need, my friend, is time with Jesus. I want, me, me, happy, happy, money, money, people, people, adventure, entertainment, me, me, me. Oh, man, we're drunk. We're intoxicated with the pursuit of pleasure for ourselves. But I've come to find this, my friend, when we get serious about Jesus and we pursue what his agenda and his plan for our lives, all the other things which are genuine needs, I get it, I feel it. But as we pursue Jesus, those things get added to us. When we start making them the big focus, we get all out of balance and frankly, we get deceived. What about if we said, use me, God, to reach more people, even if I'm laughed at? To be bold in witness. Or use me to serve more, even if it makes me uncomfortable. Faithful in service. Enable me, God, to give more, even if I have to make sacrifices. Here's a crazy concept. Set yourself an income and hold that income, and every time you get a pay increase, you just give more money away. Why don't we personally, why don't we say 10%? Hey, that's easy, that's minimum. What about 11%, 12%, 13% every year? Let's do an additional percent every year until Jesus comes back. How about that? I could just feel the whole room shuddering right now. Oh, because money is our God. I'm just throwing stuff out there to kind of smack us around the chops a little bit, to think differently, to look at the year differently. How about empower me to do everything for your glory, Lord, even if it pushes me? How about I learn to be grateful with the here and now, be grateful for what I have? Just yesterday, Chrissy and I were in Hamilton talking with Elvira and Alfred Mabusa. Many of you know them. And they look so GQ, they look so fine, they got the labels, they look real good, but for some of you will know that Elvira came from very humble beginnings. She made a comment about having a dishwasher and running water. When she was raised with, I think, 4 siblings, she was the youngest, they would go and fetch a pail of water and bring it back. If you didn't get to the table, they had no breakfast, by the way. And all they had for lunch was a roll of sausage, and the mother would try to slice it very thinly, and she had 4 older brothers, and if she was late to the table, she missed out. Just made a comment about, isn't it good to have a dishwasher? Amazing, isn't it? And yet we get all upset and uptight when the dishwasher's not being set properly or it's not working properly. Instead of being self-centered, how about we make 2019 all about being selfless? Why don't we say in 2019, Jesus, I want what you want for me. Is that an interesting thought? Has it ever really occurred to us that maybe God has a plan for your life for this year? And it might not mean more money. It might mean less money. It might mean a healthcare crisis. I don't know. I don't wish it upon anybody. But I've just found out in my life that it happens and I get closer to God through it. And God in his wisdom and his infinite wisdom knows if he actually answers all of our prayers, we might walk and drift from him. As our hearts begin to drift to those things. Today, I want to talk about being bold in witness. We're going to look at all those other subjects as the weeks unfold about faithfulness and service and giving and generosity and being extravagant in generosity. And we're going to finish with fasting because fasting is all about less of us and more of him. So today, let's talk about being bold in witness. And maybe you don't know what the word witness means. It simply means you have a first-hand account. It's used often in legal scenes, and you witness an accident, you witness something. The Bible talks about being a witness. Someone who has a first-hand account, an experience of God in their life. And so being someone who can proclaim or talk about Jesus. So I want to go to a passage of scripture and I want to set it up right now. I just want you to get your head around this. The disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. Jesus had been training them. Jesus had been teaching them. They'd been learning what it means to know God and how to do his will. 3 years of solid investing. They saw the sick getting healed. They saw blind eyes open. They even saw dead people raised. Regularly, Jesus explained, all the time, Jesus reminded them the reason why they were doing this, because he was going to give his life and he was going to die. And 3 days later, everybody say three. 3 days later, he would rise up, rise from the dead. He promised it, he prophesied it. He told them for 3 years. But the disciples didn't really get it. They said, no, Jesus, you can't do this. You can't, this is not how we're going to do it. But Jesus says, no. I'm going to die for the forgiveness of sins. I have to. This is why I came, not for the healthy, but for the sick, not for the righteous, but for the sinner. I'm going to die, but God will bring me back to life in 3 days later. Guys, in 3 days, I'll be back. You know the story. Jesus went to the cross. He suffered the most brutal death. 3 days later, on a Sunday night, he's resurrected. On that day, what do you think the disciples are doing? Do you think they're out in the street preaching boldly? Hey guys, this is the day. Jesus told us for 3 years, 3 days later, this is day three. It's going to happen. Come on, everybody. Let's get together. It's going to happen any second right now. In one moment, he's coming back. He's going to appear. Was that what the disciples were doing? No. They were not. John chapter 20, verse 19, in the New Living Translation, it says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They were cowering down behind locked doors. Why? Because they were afraid of the enemies of Christ. Why is it that we are not bold in witness? Well, there are lots of reasons. I believe the number one reason, consistent reason, is we are afraid. It's fear. We're worried we're not going to know enough. We're worried we're going to look silly. We don't want to be that kind of Christian. We're worried we won't get it right. We're afraid. We're hiding behind locked doors. I totally get it. I understand. Some people think because I'm a preacher and a pastor that my Bible hovers over the desk and I wake up in the morning with a supernatural glow. It's not true. I feel it too. Don't tell anybody, but when we did ENLI, we had to go out and evangelize, and more recently go and do God testing. And every time I have that little, you know, that little thing on the inside that goes, oh, do I have to? You're the pastor, man. You better. Everybody's counting on you, and I've got to be this brave soul. But really, even I on the inside, I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I remember at ENLI, they teach you, every time you go out, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Go on out there and pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit will go with you and show people. And I would go, dear God, I pray to you, Lord, dear God, let there be no people. I'd always hide behind Jarrett. Amazing. Why is it that we're not bold in spirit? Fear. I believe, I know that God has got people in every single one of your lives. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, I know God has got people already in your life that He wants to move through you to touch them. Maybe to say something, maybe to serve them in some way, maybe to give them something, something to move them towards God, to move them towards the love of God. I know there's no way in heaven or hell that God has a year off for a Christian from reaching others with the good news of the gospel. But I want to show you something. These disciples were behind locked doors, cowering in fear. And the remainder of the verse, in one moment, in one event, in one time, they were transformed and they received boldness. The fear went and courage entered their hearts. John 29:19, let's go back there again. Then that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Oh, I love this. Suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Oh, I love suddenlies. Suddenly, Jesus, the man who died 3 days, he said he's going to come back. 3 years, he told them. After 3 days, he was consistent. 3 days, I'm going to be back. And on the third day, why they were... Where are you, boys? Didn't you believe me? 3 days. He did his part. He rocked up. And it says, Jesus was standing there among them and he says, peace out. It's pretty cool. I mean, just use a bit of imagination, you know. He just went to the dead. He went to hell and back again. He said he'd come back. He came back. He honored his word and he knocks at the door. Wouldn't you say something like, hey, guys? He goes, peace be with you. Like, isn't that cool? Like a magic trick. Peace out. Funny. Suddenly, the disciples who were afraid became bold and courageous and evangelistic in all they said and did. In one moment, they started witnessing wherever they went. In fact, can I say it this way? You, from here on, you could not shut them up. If Jesus Christ has not changed your life radically, you have met another Jesus from the Jesus I know. If your life is not changed, dear friend, from Jesus and the power of Christ and the arrival of Jesus and transforming your heart, then you know another Jesus, but it is not the Jesus of the Bible. You cannot get Jesus in your heart and stay the same. Can someone say amen? Amen. The priests and the captains of the temple, the police, if you will, they were upset. They confronted them and they put them in prison. And they still were witnessing for Jesus in the jail. And the authorities asked them, by what power and in whose name have you done this? Then the guy who denied Jesus Christ, the guy who hid from the authorities, the guy who caved in to a little girl, he stood and he said in Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through to 10 in the New Living Translations, he stood and he said, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Look at me clearly. This is Peter. Look at me. Let's not make any mistake about it. Let's not make any, you know, misunderstanding here. Look at me, says Peter, to the authorities. I mean, just speaking out of turn, you'd lose your head. He says, look at me. Let me clearly state to all of you and all the people of Israel, I want you to watch his boldness, that he was healed by the powerful name of Christ, Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man who you crucified, but whom God raised up from the dead. Such boldness. What was Peter doing? Because of the tomb, because of the empty tomb, because Christ had risen, because Christ defeated hell and he defeated death and he defeated the grave. The very same person who was timid in spirit had now become bold and courageous because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What can we learn about this? We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. Peter saw the resurrection and it consumed him. You know, we all speak boldly about the things we believe deeply. You go to that restaurant. Oh man, the service is fantastic. Oh, the pricing is great. The food is outstanding. It was absolutely a night to remember. What do? I'm sure you're at Nanham. What do? Every person you see, you put a little post up. You wouldn't believe it. You've got to go over to that place over Takapuna. You've got to go there. The food was outstanding. I mean, brilliant presentation. Service was beautiful. You have to do it. I mean, because it made an impact on you. Or what about those new shoes you got? Oh, those shoes. They were like walking on air. They were amazing. You've got to have a pair, friend. We tell everybody. We believe it, you see. Oh, man. You watched that favorite series on Netflix. You took 3 days off work to watch all 3 seasons. You tell everybody, man, you've got to catch it. You've got to catch it. You've got to see it. It was amazing. It was outstanding. We can't shut you up, some of you people. But you talk more about Netflix than you do about Jesus. You talk more about shoes than you do about Jesus. You talk about a restaurant more than you do about Jesus. You see, because we speak boldly what we believe deeply. If you're not speaking boldly about Jesus, if we're not speaking boldly about Jesus, do we really believe in it deeply? Do we really believe? Peter goes on to say, before the governing authorities in Acts 4, 12 to 13, he says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we may be saved. The members of the council were, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men. Hallelujah. There's a few more ordinary men. Are there any ordinary men in this place? Help me out, guys. Are there any ordinary men? Are there any ordinary women? Or do we have a bunch of superstar perfect Christians? If you're a perfect Christian, those are the doors. Go now, please. You make us all feel real bad. They saw the boldness of Peter. They were ordinary men with no special training. In fact, the Greek word of unschooled is idiotes. What word, English word, do you think directly translates from idiotes? Yeah. If you're ordinary and a flippin' idiot, welcome to the game. God wants to use you. Yeah! Here's a question for every person in the room. How amazed are people of your boldness for Christ? The text we just read says that they were amazed at the boldness of Peter and John. How amazed are other people who don't follow Christ? How amazed are they at the boldness within Richard Urban, within you? Let's try to qualify this. Let's just try to somehow get a bit of a scale of 1 to 10. And I want you to rate yourself or score yourself approximately. 1 is when you're unmoved. Like people around you simply are unmoved by you. And then 10 would be they're massively amazed. Like, wow. Now don't score yourself a 10 because that would be Jesus. And don't give yourself a 1 because that would be Satan. But where do you think you might be from 1 or 2 to 9. Let me try to help you. If you're a 7 or an 8, let me try to help you. Let me just help you grade it. You often invite lost people to your place. You often like to hang around lost people. You might invite a person far from God to your connect group, or maybe even a Sunday service like here today. Somebody from school or work or your gym or whatever you're into, maybe even your neighbors. You probably have shared with 1 or 2 people this week about the peace of God living in your life, about the love of God in your heart, about your transformation, maybe your testimony. This last week, you probably said something to someone about why you have this faith in Christ. If you're a 7 or an 8, you've probably got a list somewhere. You've got 3 or 4 names tucked in the back of your Bible, or maybe it's on your phone, but there's people that you pray for every week. That would be a 7 or an 8, or maybe even a 9. How do you know if you're lower on the scale? Well, it's probably pretty obvious. You've never invited any lost person to anything. Connect group, church, your home, with the intention of building a relationship and leading them towards Christ and being a bold witness. You're probably not praying for them. You probably haven't even got a list. In fact, you wouldn't share your faith. In fact, people around you might even be surprised that you're a Christian. You're not really sure whether they even know. I remember back in 1993, I would say got radically saved. I went to church for many years, but I didn't have any lordship in my life. And I've now come to a point in my life, I don't believe you can be saved unless you have lordship. That's why I say I was not saved, even though I did church and I served in the worship team. It was a good church. And I remember having this incredible encounter in March 1993. And things changed. The beverages in the fridge, the language out of the mouth, the attitude, the heart, the desire. Life changed. I think my marriage changed. And it wasn't long after that, we started a small group. It wasn't actually such a small group. We got up to something like 40 people in our house. We called it Real People in Company. I was so hooked on this idea, God is real, God is real, God is real. And we started this group and it grew and it exploded and people were coming and created a bit of a problem because they're coming from other groups. But there was just such a hunger for the presence of God and a hunger for the Word of God. And we got an A-frame sign and I put it out on the street. A big old blackboard A-frame sign. Remember that, baby? Get some chalk. Oh, and we write a song, Real People in Company. Are you going to heaven or hell? Or some quote or some just, we wanted the whole world to know that we're here, we're Christians. Come. If you want to know the reality of Christ, come. Such boldness of people, I think were drawn to the just unrelenting, unadulterated, just love of Christ. There was another moment a few years later, and I was at work in one of my supervisors, Rehana Ricky, wonderful Māori guy. He came into my office and he began to weep. Now this is a operational area. This is a warehouse and distribution. There's machinery. It's very manly. Rehana came into my office and I'm busy working by my desk. My office was laid out. My desk was in the corner. He came and sat there. And I'm working away, you know those, And he's actually crying. He's actually telling me his wife or girlfriend, I'm not sure if they were married, but they had kids, had left him that weekend. And I didn't even register the heartbreak. I didn't even recognize the opportunity to say, Rehana, I'm sorry about that. Do you think you and I could get some time afterwards and talk about what's been going on in your heart? I just blustered on through. I've been working with him for 5 years or plus. And I remember later that week being struck and shocked at my spiritual apathy. If someone could be so available and so broken and so, why do you think he chose me? Why my office? One moment I'm spiritually bold, other moment, next hand, on the other hand, next moment, I'm spiritually apathetic. What would it be for you? How amazed are people at your spiritual boldness, my friend? This raises a very interesting question. How do we grow in boldness? I'm glad you asked the question. If we're a Christian today, if we're a follower of Jesus Christ, we are called to change the world. Thank you. If we're a Christian today, we're called to be salt and light. If we're a Christian today, we don't have any option. Yeah, see, come on, man. You've got to get some more African-American going on. I don't know what's going on. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. We're supposed to be. Christianity has always been about receiving God and then sharing God. Always. You can't hide behind marriage or parenting or no job or big important job or busy job. We can't hide behind ill health. We can't. It's a privilege. It's a pleasure to be used by God. The church is His plan. The people of God are His plan A. There's no plan B. He will move through ordinary men who have had an experience with Jesus Christ to speak boldly and to give radically. How? How do we receive? I want to give you two simple thoughts. It's from our text. They're very simple, they're obvious, but they have profound impact. Number one, the first way you get spiritual boldness, everybody taking notes, I hope. You're ready for this? Real simple. It'll change your life. Are you ready? Spend time with Jesus. Do you think you could find some time to spend with Jesus? Do you think? What does that mean? It means praying. It means listening. It means Bible. It means worship. They were amazed at the boldness of Jesus. It says here, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scripture. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Who was God using? Ordinary, regular idiots like you and me. The pastor just called me an idiot. I'm just using the Greek text. What happens when you spend more time with Jesus? Well, I can only tell you my story. Instead of Richard being heavenly minded, I get grumpy. I get consumed with myself. And honestly, I drift towards the things of the world just like you do. If someone cuts me off in traffic, I want to rear end them. And if I stay away from Jesus for a whole long time, I might even do something else. If something bad happens in life, I overreact, I get all emotional, I just get in the flesh. Christy says, hallelujah, amen. And I get into other stuff. Entertainment, social media, you get too into other things. These things aren't necessarily wrong, of course, but we just drift into them. We become into them too much. We get into them, then we feel bad and distant from God, right? Then we kind of avoid God. And then we sink further into spiritual apathy. Can anybody relate to that? Like, I'm just opening my heart up here so we can all feel human. But the reality is, on the other hand, as I do almost every day, is I wake up and I spend 30 minutes or more with God and I pray and read my Bible. You see, His Word renews my mind. His Word adjusts my attitude. His Word tells me, Richard, stop being selfish and become selfless, my friend. His Word is powerful. I bring every situation to Him. Oh, my dear friend, and God listens to me. The God of the universe listens to me. He loves our time together. And I walk out of my house with confidence, divine confidence and boldness when I leave my house. He is with me. His Spirit will guide me. I feel bolder because I've been with Him. And so when I see opportunities When I feel opportunities to witness, I see opportunities to give, to serve, to bless, to help, to speak, to share. I sense it, I feel it, and when I move into it, oh, my friend, it makes you feel alive, and it makes me want to get more time with Jesus the next day, and day after day builds, and you get what's called positive spiritual momentum. And the reason we are so often are spiraling downward or just looping like the hamster on the wheel is because we're just not consistent every day getting time with Jesus. Positive momentum is building. It's very simple. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's simple. It is simple. If you want to be bold for Jesus, if you want to live 2019 for Him and let His agenda for your life, His plans for your life happen, you've got to get time with Him to feel and be filled with the Spirit of God. And the second way you can get boldness is ask God to make you bold. Just pray. God, please would you give me spiritual boldness to share the gospel? Would you give me boldness to speak? When was the last time you asked God for spiritual boldness? Back to Peter and John, back at our text. The religious leaders continued to threaten them with jail and maybe even death. I want you to imagine with me, there are people, Christians in our world today, who are tormented and persecuted for their faith. Every nation, our own movement, has seen pastors be murdered because of their faith. I have the privilege with others to go to APEC and conferences during the year and usually in Asia, and we learn about people who are being tortured. We actually might sit beside someone who's been imprisoned for their faith, and meanwhile we're back here saying, dear God, give me a nice car park. Oh Lord, will you help grandma with arthritis today? Lord, I'd like some more money. Oh Lord Jesus, help Pastor Richard not to preach too much, Lord. Dear God in heaven, we have to get a life, a spiritual life. I just find it hard to reconcile. I feel the apathy sometimes in my own heart. Then I'm exposed to real life situations of great danger. And I'm often impacted. I think that's one of the reasons I like to go to these conferences, not so much by the teaching, not so much by the great worship experience, but to learn of real life situations, whether they're in Nepal, or whether they're in an Islamic country, or whether they're in Tibet. I remember talking to the lady from Mongolia. I remember trying to have a conversation with a man who could barely get any, actually it's through an interpreter from North Korea. And they're not saying, dear God, give me a nice life. Help my cell phone to get repaired very quickly. Hope I can get that Rebel Sport cheap deal of shoes. They're just glad to have feet. I think many of these people are better off than us, better off than me, because they are fully dependent upon God. This is why we're going to fast and pray in a few weeks' time, so we can have a complete realignment in our hearts to get rid of ourselves and let the Spirit of God fill us afresh. Are you hungry for that? I want you to watch. I want you to watch the response of the disciples. The threats continued, jail or even potential loss of life. Watch their boldness. I want you to catch verse 29 this morning. Under the threat of potential death, this is what they say, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in the preaching your word. They didn't pray, Lord, keep us safe. Oh, Lord, don't let anything bad happen to me. They said, Lord, give us great boldness. Give us boldness to speak. Give us boldness to do what we need to do, to say what we need to say. Oh, God, change me spiritually. Infuse within me your spirit, God. When was the last time you prayed and asked God for spiritual boldness? This is what we have to do, my friends. Spend time with Jesus and ask God for boldness. If you do that regularly and you mean it in your heart, you will have the courage like Peter. You may have been a coward. You may, as I have been a coward. You may have been spiritually apathetic, as I have been spiritually apathetic. But friend, you can experience the boldness in your spirit. I'm not talking about being a raving lunatic on the street preaching. I'm talking about someone, even with a gentle voice at the right moment and the right time, could just speak the word of God, speak hope, speak life, share the reason why you're born again, why what your life used to be like and now what it's like with Jesus. Praise God, you've got a mouth, you've got to use it. It's maybe the greatest weapon we've got for the gospel. And darn it, Auckland, New Zealand, and New Zealand, this great nation, needs the church to rise up and speak. It's so intoxicated with conferences and feel good. And most churches are dying or plateauing. Talking to Pastor Tark Barner this last week, a couple of weeks ago. Most churches are declining in number. Plateauing out, dying, not making disciples. Why? I think there's more than one reason, but part of the mix is the church is not being the church. When we pray for boldness and spend time with Jesus, we will start to realize, we'll start to realign, we'll start to remember when this life is over, people will live somewhere forever. I want to tell you today, there are two eternal choices. People will either live in the presence of God in heaven, or they'll live in the horror of eternal damnation, a place called hell. Now, I'm not a fan of fire and brimstone preaching, to be honest. I'm not a fan of that. They kind of try to scare people to make commitments. They can, oh, you know, I can smell the sulfur right now. Oh, you're going to hell where there's gnashing of teeth and weeping, where the worm does not rest. Talking about a place of torment, they try to spread a message of fear. I've never really loved that style of preaching, but I cannot be true to Scripture and not talk about it. There's a real place called hell. Words are inadequate to capture the excruciation, the anguish, and the horror of hell. It is described in the Bible as outer darkness, the eternal lake of fire, a place of torment and sorrow, everlasting destruction. Hell has indescribable suffering for all eternity. Just this last week, in our Connect group, with some men that live close by, I had to tell one person, not all paths lead to the same God. That cannot be true. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other path to the Father except through me. There is heaven and there is hell, and hell is indescribably difficult. It's full of suffering, but in the same way, there's another place. It's called heaven, where words are inadequate to express the glory, to express the beauty, to express the splendor, the majesty of the dwelling place of God and all His children. Paul says it like this, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. We can't even dream it up. We can't even explain it. It's so good. It's so glorious. It's so majestic. It's speechless wonder. It's consuming love. It's unending goodness emanating out of the Father. That is heaven. John, the disciple who was with Peter before the court. Later on in the book of Revelation in chapter 21, he has a dream and God shows him a picture of heaven. And he says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth has disappeared and the sea has also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain.' But all these things were gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I'm making everything new.'" Hallelujah, praise God. And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." Verse 6, and he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning," oh hallelujah, "and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will freely give from the springs of the waters of life. All who are victorious will inherit all the blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Hallelujah. We speak boldly what we believe deeply. A timid and fearful Christian will not reach a lost and hurting and broken world, and they are begging us to do it. God is begging us to do it. Begging may not be the right word. They are begging. God's not begging us. He invites us to do it. I'm telling you, let's make 2019 different. I'm pouring it out here, friend. Let's make 2019 different. Let's make it about Jesus. Let's make him famous. Let's make him known in Auckland, all around the city, up and down this island. Let's it be about Jesus. And if he happens to give us more money and a better job and some special person or some shoes or whatever, a television, oh, praise God for that. But don't make it about those things. Make it about him. Can we do that? We're here for a very short piece in time. This is the apprenticeship. We just get 80, 90 years if you're lucky. Then it's all eternity. And it's too late. It's too late. Your family and friends, it's too late. When will an army of Christians rise up and say, "Jesus, I want to spend time with you every day because nothing else will satisfy me. Lord, wake me up from my apathy. Lord, break out, break from my this me, Lord, just my pursuit of things and stuff and comfort. Lord, can you change my heart?" As I close, you might be thinking, "Oh, Pastor, what if I tell them? What if I speak? What if I say something? Maybe I won't get it right. Maybe, well, they might say no. They might get offended. I say something and share my faith, but they don't want to hear. What if, what if, what if?" Here's another question, maybe even more powerful. What if we don't? I don't believe there's any people in this room that did not come to Christ through God working through other people. I know there are moments, particularly in the Middle East and around the world and hard to reach areas, they have Christophanies. Jesus himself appears before people, but almost exclusively, almost totally around the world, God uses human beings to reach other human beings. Are we going to have that kind of heart that says, "God, I'm all sweet. I'm going to pursue comfort. I'm not going to be used by you"? Are we going to be that people? Meanwhile, our people go to hell. I don't want it to be like that. And I don't believe you do in your heart either, but God needs to do something to wake us up to become bold in witness, praise God. Who would say, Pastor, today I need to become more spiritually bold. I want to become more spiritually bold. Do not put your hand up out of compulsion, but you want more spiritual boldness. You want to become a person who actually God can use in your temperament, in your personality, in your style. But God's got people that you can reach that I can't reach. And it's not about trying to get them to accept Jesus, Lord and Savior right now. Maybe it's to move them from -6 to -3. Maybe it's through food and blessing them and helping them and inviting them and including them and investing in them. And then they find out, what is the reason for the hope that lies within you? Why are you so at peace when the world's gone crazy? Why are you the way you are? And you can share your story. Who would like to have their mouths open up by God? And we go from Peter, the timid Peter, the guy who cowered before a little girl, and become Peter who says, oh, friend, I'm going to tell you, it's the name of Jesus Christ. Why don't we stand to our feet? I want to pray for us all. Whether you accept it or not, I want to tell you, I believe all of us need more spiritual boldness, including myself this morning. Let us just close our eyes. And if you really resonate with this message and you know, Pastor, I've got to be, I want to change. I need my heart to change. I invite you to lift your hands to the Lord. Let me just pray for you, Father, today. Lord, we commit 2019 to you today. Lord, today we pray that this year would be different than every other year. Lord, I pray we'd remove, Lord, the selfishness and the self-centeredness out of our heart. Lord, let our year become, Lord, all about you at this early stage, Lord, so early in the year. Lord, we commit 2019 for the glory of Jesus, Lord, for the expansion of the gospel. Lord, I pray today that you would use us ordinary people in powerful ways. Lord, that we all this year could lead someone, have the joy of leading someone to the Lord, have the joy of helping somebody find Christ, have the joy of loving them like Jesus would love them. Let our feet be your feet. Let our hands be your hands. Let our heart be your heart, God. Lord, I pray today that there'd be nothing in our lives that would be more attractive than spending time with Jesus. There'd be nothing in our hearts that would satisfy us more than being with you, talking to you, learning about you, loving you. I pray today that the courage that found its way into the heart of Peter before the authorities, I pray that kind of courage even today would come out of heaven. It would be unleashed in the hearts of your people today. I call forth, we ask you, God, for spiritual boldness. We ask you, God, for wisdom. We ask you, God, that you'd loosen our mouth. Lord, I ask you for a heart that bleeds and cries for lost people. Pray for this now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. While you're standing there, I just want to simply say this. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, and maybe when I talked about heaven and hell, maybe there's an urgency in your spirit. I don't know. But if you're far from God or close to God, I would love the opportunity to talk with you. I'm going to be just down here in front of these signs. Whether you're exploring God, I don't come with a sales pitch. All I can talk about is how Jesus changed me and the reason he came to the planet. But if you want to talk more about it, exploring, or you want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, Pastor, I've had enough. I've lived like that. I want to give my life to Christ. If that's you, meet me down here. I would love the honor of meeting you, talking with you, and leading you to Christ, or at least answering some questions about Christ to move you forward. Amen. Praise the Lord.